Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Tim shares the Word of God. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Tim with today's message.
And I have a vital message for all Christians today. I really want this message to go on our podcast, to go all over the world. I want every Christian to hear this message, because the title of today's message is Preparing to Celebrate Christmas. Preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Preparing to celebrate what this month is all about. Thanksgiving is over. Turkey, ham, dressing. We've about got it all eaten. We still got some leftovers hanging around, but we're working pretty hard on it. And we are now ready to turn to our next holiday, Christmas. I say, well, we're now ready. I think Walmart has had Christmas trees out since July the 5th. Seriously? I'm still looking to buy a bathing suit, and there I got the Christmas stuff out. But at any rate, they've been ready for a long time, but we're just now getting ready to start looking to celebrate Christmas. Just this last Friday, the biggest shopping day of the year, Black Friday. You know, this amazes me. Now, we're Christmas shopping. We're buying gifts for people in stores because we are so full of love and joy, and we're fighting and pushing and shoving, and there's more fights on Black Friday than probably any other day of the year. You know, as you look at it, there really is a long list of reasons to dread Christmas. There's a long list of it. I mean, the stress of Christmas, the worry about Christmas, and the pressure, just the financial pressure of having to spend money at Christmas, and the knot in your stomach that comes at this time of the year. And often the dread is very legitimate. I mean, many have had the loss of a loved one, and this is a difficult holiday. The loss of a marriage, and your family dynamic is no longer like it was. The loss of relationships. Many are empty nesters. Your kids are married and gone and got families and direction on their own, and you're gone and you're alone, and it makes you dread Christmas. There's a long list of reasons to dread Christmas. But the title of today's message is Preparing Us to Celebrate. The most historical event in the history of the world, without a close second. I mean, not World War I, not World War II. This is the biggest historical event in the history of the world. It changed the world's dating system before Christ and after Christ. We're talking undisputably the biggest event in the history of the world. And we've got to prepare to celebrate our Savior is born. Our Savior has been born. And with all the reasons there are to dread Christmas, we've got to make sure that we understand this is not about your loss, but it's about celebrating our incredible gain. Now, we've got to make sure that our focus is in the right direction. Before I share the word with you today, I want to watch this video.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer.
Are you all drinking now? Can I get rid of it?
Hey, to me. Just stay up there. I don't want to see you again for the rest of my life.
Take off,
I don't want to see you again for the rest of my whole life.
There is space.
Somebody pick up.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I'm every moment, it's all in me. I can read your thoughts right now. You're a wonderful man to say.
It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call.
Catherine, this turkey tastes half as good as it looks. I think we're all in for a very big treat.
Save the neck for me, Clark.
Okay, Eddie.
Look at that.
Sorry.
Why are you crying?
I told you we put it in too early.
It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow.
Heather, do a head count. Make sure everyone's in the band. What's
the ticket? There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Excuse me, I am looking for a ham, a hickory honey ham.
If there are any left, they'll be back there.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Excuse me.
There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time.
I am strong. I am invincible.
Never say hickory honey ham again.
Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time.
Clark, I think it's best if everyone just goes home before things get worse.
Worse? How could they get any worse?
Oh, the most wonderful time.
Holidays.
I've been getting ready for this message today, and for 3 weeks I've been watching that, and I can't get over it yet. Yeah, we laugh and laugh, but the problem is, it's just so true. I've wanted to kick Santa Claus in the hedge and stomp my lights for not working. I mean, it just, are you kidding me? Well, we got two Christmas trees back there. They're gorgeous, up 25 feet high, and they worked all week. And last night at 8 o'clock, I come down here and the lights are out on this one. Saturday night, are you kidding me? And I drag that big ladder out here and I'm leaning it up there and I'm leaning out 25 feet at 8 o'clock last night working on those lights, and I'm thinking, this is not good. There's nothing about this ladder you know, no ladders have even legs. You know, it's shaking and I'm up there trying. This is a bad deal right here. I mean, you know, I just wanted to grab that tree and just throw it off the whole thing up there. I couldn't get it working. We know what this is all about. Regardless of all that we go through, of who's coming, of who's not coming, of what lights are working and what lights are not working, and the food and the presents and the travel. Church, I want to talk about the fact that our Savior has been born. Our Savior has been born. And I want to make sure that we keep our focus in the right direction. In the midst of all that we are emotionally going through personally, our Savior has been born. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name. You know, God's people make a huge error today when we look to the heathens to make right decisions and to take our country in a right direction. And I hear all the time, and you do too, I can't believe what the Supreme Court did. I can't believe what this president just did. I can't believe what that judge over there did. I can't believe what the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals did. My question is, why can't you believe it? Ungodly, unbiblical people will think ungodly and make unbiblical decisions. That's what's going to happen. Now, God has always used heathen people and heathen nations. He will use those. But God never looks to them to accomplish His will and His purpose on this earth. He's always looked to a man, a woman, or a nation that would live in covenant with Him. God's always depended on His people to bring His will on earth as it is in heaven. God depends, God looks to His people. If my people, 2 Chronicles says, if my people. Now it's very simple to see how America has gotten off track. God's people allowed this to happen. You know, because it's just in recent years that the Church of America has taken the position that the church should stay out of political matters. If the church stays out of politics, then who is in politics? How foolish of us. The church should be in politics every time the doors are open. We ought to be talking about political matters every time the doors are open. The church ought to be driving the political bus. That's the way America was founded. When the church quit, then the heathens take over. That's why we're where we are. God looks to His people. God looks to His people. You know, God, we can't be appalled that the Ten Commandments have been removed from our courthouse lawn if you don't have them up on your lawn. If you don't have them up in the foyer of your business. You know, this occurred to us some years ago, and so we put the Ten Commandments up on our property. You can't take those down. You can't take those down out there. I mean, do you have the Ten Commandments up in the foyer of your business or on? See, if my people will. The title of today's message is Preparing Us to Celebrate Christmas. Because 2 Chronicles says, if my people today. We're the first Sunday after Thanksgiving. America's complete focus right now is on the economic impact, the financial boost that this celebration brings to businesses nationwide. In fact, is many businesses in 2 weeks this time of the year do as much or more business than they do the other 50 weeks added together. Yet, we continue to see less and less of Jesus each season. How foolish. C-H-R-I-S-T-M-I-S. Christmas. It's not Santa-mas. It's Christmas. And everything this celebration does is about the birth of Jesus. The only reason that Americans spend billions of dollars this month in buying and giving gifts. Now think about this. There's only one reason. That's the way we celebrate the fact that God so loved that He gave. So to celebrate that, we give gifts to our loved ones. Don't tell me this is just a holiday of gift giving. Why don't we give gifts at Memorial Day, at Labor Day, at New Year's Day, at Veterans Day, at Columbus Day, at Washington's Day? There are a lot of national holidays that we close the bank and we close government offices and they don't buy gifts and we don't infuse billions of dollars into America's economy. There's only one reason for that, and that is to celebrate the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His Son. And to celebrate that single event, we buy and give gifts to those that we love. Don't tell me this is just another holiday. This is distinctly different in every way. Why don't we drag in a tree and put it up on Memorial Day or on Veterans Day? Why is the tree not a hickory or an oak? It's an evergreen tree. That symbolizes the everlasting life. Why do we put up lights? We don't string lights all over our house for Veterans Day. Why do we do it on Christmas? Because he is the light of the world. Why do we put up ornaments and hang them over a tree? Because the scripture says we are to adorn ourselves with him. The list goes on and on. Why do we have red and white striped candy canes? He is the good shepherd, and it signifies the purity of his blood. The traditions go on and on. We don't put a holly wreath up for 4th of July. Why do we do that? It is a signifying of the crown of thorns that he wore. Why is red the color? Because of his blood that was shed for us. Church, we could go on. Well, Tim, you teach this message every year. Every year we come in here and hear this same sermon. And I am here to tell you, when parents teach this, and when the school system teaches this once again, and I am assured that every child growing up knows the reason we celebrate Christmas, then I will teach something else. But until then, I'm going to make for sure and for certain that every member of this church and every child that is being raised in this church and all the children that we continue to dedicate in this church knows what Christmas is all about. I want to make sure that our church knows. I'm not entertaining adults with new sermons. I'm raising the next generation that understands the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why we talk about this every year. Now, for you to say, as a Christian, for you to say, oh, bah, humbug, I don't do all of that. I don't do all that decorating. I don't do all that. I don't go to those parties. I ain't going to no Christmas play three nights in a row. For you as a Christian to say that has a powerful effect, because here's what you can know. The world is not going to. If you're not going to keep Christ in Christmas, who do we expect to? I know it's a difficult time of the year. You don't like being around people. Now you're forced to go to parties. You don't like having fun. Now you're forced to have fun. I know this is a terrible sacrifice on some of you. Some of you are not bah humbuggers just at Christmas. You live a bah humbug life. I realize that. You are a stick in the mud and you were born that way. But here's what I'm telling you. It's Christmas. And I want to prepare you to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Because it is our mandate to keep Christ in Christmas. The title of the message today is to celebrate, to prepare to celebrate Christmas. It's not winter break. No, it's not winter break. It is Christmas break, and it's a time we're going to take off to celebrate the birth of Christ, not Santa Claus and not the reindeer. Now, the first thing that we're going to start doing in these coming days is to send Christmas cards. Please, Christians. I get stacks of Christmas cards from all around the country of people that we know. And I get them from Christians that send me a Christmas card that says, have a merry ho-ho day. Don't send me a Christmas card with the Budweiser horses on it. Are you kidding me? As a Christian, would you send a Christmas card that has something about Jesus being born? Would you send out a Christmas card that has a picture of the nativity scene on it? Would you send out a Christmas card that remembers the real meaning of Christmas? Oh, Tim, I've already bought my Christmas cards. If you can't afford to buy others, let me know. I'll pay you. Throw those away. I'll buy you some cards. Don't send a picture of the Budweiser horses out on your Christmas card. Send a picture of the nativity scene out and say, let's keep Christ in. Come on, if Christians won't do this, I'm talking to Christians today. Don't send no card that says, have a merry ho-ho day on it. You send a Christmas card that keeps the real meaning of Christ in Christmas. Make sure that you as a Christian are doing this. I know for many of us getting older, it's hard to decorate. It's hard to set a tree up in your house. A tree is very important. It signifies a lot. It's not an oak tree. It's not a hickory tree. It's an evergreen tree. There's so much that the tree celebrates. But I know if you are in a shape that physically you can't do that, let me just tell you, one of my favorite decorations in our house is this big. It's a little treasure chest that Terry sets out at Christmas. And you open it up, and it's got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A Christmas decoration that keeps the real meaning of Christmas alive. Set a nativity scene in your foyer. At last count, I think we got five in our house. Maybe you don't need to do that, but one would sure be a good start. We almost didn't have Christmas, as a matter of fact, the other day. Terry started screaming. I thought something bad had happened. I went running in there. Baby Jesus was missing in one of the nativity scenes. You'll all be happy to know we found Jesus. He's back on the mantle, so Christmas can go on. He was in another box, but we've got him in the nativity. You know, there's a lot of characters you can miss in a nativity scene and maybe not miss, but that's one that's glaring whenever you walk in. So Christmas is back on at our house. We found him. Look, you got to keep Christ in Christmas. You've got to keep Christ in our celebration. A lighted wreath on your door. We don't put up a wreath on 4th of July. It signifies the crown of thorns for you and I. Make sure that your kids know the difference in the holiday season. Holiday season, that's Memorial Day, Labor Day, 4th of July. That's holiday season. This is Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior. Let's make sure that we have the right attitude going into this. You know, a couple of years ago, our church, we built and distributed 100 nativity scenes, and they dotted this whole community out here. We put those nativity scenes up. They were very difficult to build, and they were very heavy. We later found out that you can order nativity scenes online a whole lot cheaper than we could build them, a whole lot lighter than we could build them. Make sure that you have ordered you a nativity scene. Make sure that as a Christian, you have a nativity scene on your property where everybody drives by. Even the heathen that drives by, when his four-year-old son stands up in the back seat and says, "Daddy, what is that?" he will have to communicate the reason for Christmas as he drives by your nativity scene. Make sure you have one. If you physically can't set it up, you order it, hire you a teenager across the street. I guarantee he's not doing nothing. Hire him to come over and set up your nativity scene for you. But make sure that as Christians, we keep Christ in the center of what we're doing. Well, Tim, you live at the end of a private road. Nobody can drive by your house and nobody can see your house. I don't decorate it for nobody. I decorate it for me because I want the Lord to know that I'm excited about his entrance into this world. I want him to know if you have a bowl of candy canes in your house, every time you walk by that bowl, you see the Good Shepherd whose pure blood was shed for you so that your penalty and payment of sin is made in full. This is the greatest celebration in the world. And don't you as a Christian adopt the bah humbug attitude. "Oh, Tim, it's just too hard. It's too much work. Tim, I just can't get online and order me a nativity scene and go out there and put it up. I can't do all." Well, I know I need to. Well, I know I should. Well, you know what? While Christians knew they should and while Christians knew they needed to, we let prayer get taken out of school. While we shoulda, coulda, thought about it, wish we woulda, needed to, we're allowing the world to go to hell. Come on, we're going to have to quit shoulda and needing to, and we're going to have to make sure that we as Christians keep the real meaning of Christ in the center of our celebration, or we'll all be having winter break if we're not very, very careful. December, for Christians, it's the greatest month of the year. It's the greatest month of the year for a Christian because we personally have experienced the life-changing effect that his birth has had on our life. I was just thinking in my office the other day, Jesus' birth has changed everything about my life. And that's not an overstatement. That's not a pastoral exaggeration. His birth has changed everything. Name something. Name where I live, what I do, how I talk to my wife, how I treat my wife, how I talk to my children, how I raised my kids, how I talk to my grandchildren, what I'm imparting in my grandchildren, where I entertain, what I watch on TV, what music I listen to, what's on my podcast, what internet sets that I go, sites that I go to, what I drink, what I don't drink, what I eat, where I go to eat, where I sit, where I don't sit, the stores I go in and the restaurants that I'm not going to go in. The list is unending. His birth has literally changed everything about my life. And that's why at Christmas, I cannot adopt a bah, humbug, I don't want to go to no Christmas party attitude. We have to celebrate the light of the world coming not only into the world, but coming into our personal lives as well. And we, above all people, are the ones that should be celebrating the hardest and the most. There's no way that as a Christian, I am going to be sitting at home allowing some beer joint to have a Christmas party who totally misses the reason for Christmas to begin with. Jesus is the light of the world. And he has been born, and there's not another event in the history of the world that can compete with the impact that his birth has had. I started making notes about the hospitals that are here because of Jesus' birth, about the research centers, about the inventions, and I thought, whoa, that's a whole nother sermon. I can't go into all of the impact that Jesus' birth has had, not only on society, but more important, in my life. There's no way I can adopt a bah, humbug, I'm not going to no Christmas play attitude. As we prepare the month of December, and we prepare all month long for December the 25th, put a nativity scene in your yard, light up your house, and don't be alone. If you don't have family here, there is a lot of people that don't have family here. Plan parties with other single people that don't have family here. Get together with other people. Bring people. Make sure you're at every night of the Christmas place. Give yourself to other people. I don't have a party to go to. Plan one. Well, I don't want to go to the Christmas play by myself. Well, then don't. Bring some people with you. If you will give yourself to what this celebration is all about, Jesus' birth will bring healing to your hurt and to your pain and to your depression and to your loneliness. But if you withdraw into a shell this time of year, you will miss the power of his birth in your own personal life. My plea today is don't let the devil rob you with depression and keep you from celebrating the birth of Jesus. Don't let the devil rob you of this season of the year. As a Christian, we've got everything to celebrate. Everything to celebrate. For us, there's just no way we can adopt a bah humbug attitude. I'm not leaving the celebration of the birth of Jesus up to heathens to keep Jesus in Christmas. While I send a Christmas card that says, have a merry ho-ho day on it. Come on, do your part as a Christian to be celebrating the birth of Jesus. Celebrate the birth of Jesus. The main thing about Christmas is not only has Jesus been born in this world, but he's been born in my life. With every light you put up, with every ornament you hang, with every gift that you buy, celebrate Jesus and his entrance into your life. This month, let's get a right attitude as Christians and let's plan to celebrate. Y'all stand with me. Father, today as we enter into the month of December and the month of celebrating your birth, Lord, I pray right now over hurts, over pains, over lonelinesses, over all of those that this time of the year is most difficult for. Lord, I pray that as we celebrate your birth, that it's not just a historical birthday that we're celebrating, but that we experience your birth that births healing and freedom, health, that your birth births vision in our hearts. Lord, that this is not a depressive time of year, but that this is a most exciting time of year as we celebrate your entrance into this world and your entrance into our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.